This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got Keith on the line right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back to Ben and Woods, Keith. Always good talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so the reason we're just going to get right to it because we wanted to ask you on was the story coming out this past week about the future of minor league baseball and changes being proposed during the discussions on collective bargaining agreement, hearing about maybe eliminating a couple of dozen teams around the country, restructuring, reorganization of AAA, AA, single A. And we love minor league baseball. I mean, we love going to games. We go up to Lake Elsinore at least a couple of times a year. What are you kind of hearing about this? What's been the reaction to the proposal by MLB? What's going on here?
And I'll say up front, too, not only am I a big fan of minor league baseball, it's basically what I do, right? I go to very few major league games. I watch those on TV. But I actually go to the minor league games to see players. So I have a vested interest in the minors sort of keeping as many teams, at least as many teams close to me as possible. I don't care about teams close to you. I only care about teams close to me because this is entirely about me.
Of course.
Yes. So first, what is the reaction been? So this, what leaked at the end of last week was Major League Baseball went to Minor League Baseball. They're the PBA, the Professional Baseball Agreement, that governs relations between the two entities has not really been updated since 1990. They've just kept rolling it forward without any real changes. Major League Baseball finally went back to Minor League Baseball and said, look, you got a lot of teams and facilities that are unacceptable just from a facility quality. I'm talking about not so much about the part for the fans, but the part for the players, the clubhouses, training facilities, medical facilities, even housing nearby for the players. So they said, one, you know, we think a lot of these need to be relocated, upgraded, or flat out eliminated. And also they've raised the point that a lot of the geography where these teams are located relative to each other, so for travel between sites for games or relative to their major league affiliates, is also a problem. And Minor League Baseball said, sure, we understand some of that, but we have owners of all of these franchises who you made investments and expect don't, you know, if you go to somebody and say, hey, we're just shutting your business down, of course they're not going to be happy about that. They expect to be compensated in some way. And I think that's the crux of the problem here is Major League Baseball says, this system doesn't work for us, fix it. And Minor League Baseball is saying, we're open to making changes, but who's paying for all of this? I'm glossing over a lot of detail, but I think that's the main gist of it. And there's not a simple solution. And in that column, I tried to present a little of both sides, a few of my own ideas, but I don't have a perfect solution either. I mean, the truth is this system has been allowed to atrophy for a really long time. So nobody's made any significant changes in really in about 50 years. That's how long the current league structure of the minors has been in place. And it's going to take a long time and probably a fair amount of money to undo all of that.
I mean, yeah, that stands to reason. And it sounds a little bit like it's almost kind of spiraled out of control. And now they're kind of flipping out about it, Keith. And, you know, my partner Ben here earlier said, well, you know, if they did, I'm trying to think about any positives that would happen. You know, maybe then if they save a lot of money and kind of contract, then they could pay minor leaguers more. Do you think that's even a consideration at this point, or has it just gotten too big too fast?
So I talked to sources on both sides before writing that. And the people I talked to with Major League Baseball who just didn't want to be identified, but they all brought up, you know, we want to pay players more. But the current system, their argument was the current system makes that more difficult because we have extra expenses related to having all of these extra affiliates spread out across the country. And also because we're paying a lot of players who have no chance to make the major leagues, right? A lot of players, especially in those short season leagues, like the Pioneer League or the Appalachian League, we're paying most of these players. They're not paying them much, but those guys have very little chance to actually make the majors. I sort of believe that. And I sort of don't. I mean, the flip side, the problem I have with that is Major League Baseball makes so much money, they could just pay the players more now,
right,
and they wouldn't really notice it. But they're saying, look, if we're going to spend more, give us cost savings somewhere else. And I actually don't really have any objection to that because they're right. A lot of their expenses on this side are probably not necessary or not really efficient. I would say if there's going to be some kind of massive structural change to the relationship between the majors and the minors, someone, and it's not really clear who in this transaction, has to stand up for the minor league players because the minor leagues, the minor league owners, they don't really care. It's not their money, and those aren't their players. So who in that negotiation is saying, wait, you have to promise you're going to pay the players more? There's nobody on either side who would have some vested interest in extracting that promise.
The one, Keith, the one aspect that I do tend to agree with the major league clubs on this is that they're putting expensive assets. They've invested a lot of money in, you know, some of their top draft picks, big signing bonuses. You don't want to send them out to a, you know, a high A facility that doesn't have a good, you know, good training room, that doesn't have equipment that keeps these guys in shape and keeps them on the road to the big leagues. That would be unacceptable to me. If I were a major league owner, at the minimum, I need to know that my big ticket prospects are being taken care of in the minor leagues.
I completely agree. And I've been to an Appalachian League facility. One of what I'm told is one of the nicer ones, which sort of shocked me. They're basically playing on glorified high school fields. And that would be fine for an independent team or a collegiate summer league team. But those are franchises in the Appalachian League. That's a short season league that's above your Arizona Rookie League, but not as high as, say, low A, like where the Padres have Fort Wayne, for example. Those affiliates at the short season level, you're going to run real prospects through there. You're going to run high draft picks through there. You're going to run your big ticket Latin American players too. Imagine taking a kid out of the Dominican Republic who you've given a large signing bonus to, and then you send him to Bluefield, West Virginia, and he's playing on a glorified high school field, and he's the housing, the training facilities, the food. You've taken him to a completely foreign country and you're putting him up in these fairly low quality facilities, and major league teams are saying, uncle, we don't want that. But it's not easy to just say, well, we'll take those prospects and just skip them over that level entirely. That's not really a solution either.
We're talking to Keith Law here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Keith, I got to ask the question, you know, the Padres are one of seven teams left, I believe, looking for their next skipper. And Jace Tingler is a name that none of us had heard before a couple of weeks ago. Now, you know, he's got his own contingent of fans. There are a couple of other candidates here they're talking about in San Diego. But all of your dealings in baseball, what do you know? What can you tell us about Jace Tingler?
So sort of small world. I worked for the Blue Jays when we drafted him. I did not know him at the time, but he was a 10th round, you know, senior sign. I think he signed for, you know, $5,000 or something like that. Played a couple of years in our system before retiring and moving on to the coaching side. And I will say I've met him over the years since he became a coach and manager in the Rangers system. And the Rangers people have nothing but tremendous things to say about him. They say he's high energy, that his players absolutely love playing for him, that he's really well-versed in the data side of things, that he'd be great for dealing with the analytics department, which we know the Padres are going to see as an important part of the new manager's job, or frankly, it's probably the entire coaching staff is going to be expected to do that. And Jace even had some experience managing parts of the farm system for the Rangers too. So he's got experience overseeing a staff of non-player people as well, which I think is also extremely important and kind of an underrated thing. So he checks a lot of the boxes for me. I always argue that major league teams are very quick to hire famous people who don't necessarily have the right experience, particularly managing somewhere. I don't care if you manage winter ball, minor leagues, just manage somewhere before you manage in the majors. And Tingler has done all of that. He's done all of these things and comes with absolutely glowing references from his last organization. So I would love to see him get the job as the manager. If he ends up in sort of a subordinate role, as has been rumored, he might be a bench coach / sort of assistant manager type of position. I also think he'll be great at that.
But knowing what you know about the Padres and what you've seen, I mean, the record speaks for itself over the last few years, especially with Andy Green at the helm. Andy, really, really nice guy, high energy guy, definitely won the interview. And we talked to Ron Fowler. Ron Fowler told us verbatim, I've interviewed 15,000 people in my career. Andy Green was top three. You know, he nailed the interview, but then the results in the field obviously weren't there. Are the Padres in a position to take another chance? I mean, call it a chance on a guy with no major league baseball experience.
I think yes. I think Andy Green got scapegoated a little bit. The reason that the Major League team didn't do well had more to do with the fact that the Major League talent wasn't really there. Between injuries and the teams just weren't that good. And I thought Green's in-game management was fine, not great, not really awful. You know, the question that I can't answer, that probably people inside the organization are trying to answer, is how was he on the developmental side? They're still in a developmental mode, although I think we all agree the Padres are going to be pretty good pretty soon.
These
prospects, they're arriving, right? Some of them are here already. Some of them are going to get there very quickly. In the next 2 years, you know, by the end of 2021, I think the bulk of the big-name prospects there, the guys we expect to really contribute to the next really great Padres team, they'll be in the majors. They may not be great yet, but they'll be there. So to me, the next 2 years are still critical developmental years, and I want a developmental manager. Not somebody, this is the wrong situation for Dusty Baker, who's a great manager if you think your team is a contender right now and you're trying to get yourself to the postseason. That might be true for the Mets. It's definitely true for the Phillies. It is not at all true for the Padres. And I think for the Padres, it makes far more sense to take somebody who's got a developmental track record and has actual experience at doing that versus going even for an acclaimed major league manager who hasn't really had a role in developing players in a very long time.
If the Padres do end up hiring Jace Tingler, they're going to want this interview to get out as much as possible. I called last week for a Jace Tingler defender out there. Crickets, got nothing, Keith. We needed you last week at that time because obviously people are skeptical here in San Diego and kind of looking for the more the veteran choice, whether it's Ron Washington or some of the other names that have been mentioned. Before you go, I know you watch mostly minor league games, but everyone gets to have an opinion on the World Series. It does start tonight in Houston. Astros dealing with a bit of a distraction in that Sports Illustrated story. Washington Nationals, great pitching. Astros are big favorites. How do you see the series breaking down, Keith?
And I'll say I believe that Sports Illustrated story and the women who reported what they saw flat out, no matter the Astros' denials. My preseason pick, somebody, a reader had to point this out to me. I completely forgot. My preseason pick was Astros over Nationals.
Wow, look
so
at you.
So I feel like I actually have to stick with that. We're not going to talk about some of my other preseason picks. We're just going to let those slide right on by. But I will say, the Astros over the Nationals, let's say in six games. I actually think this is really close. The Nationals are very well built for the postseason. And just from a sort of sentimental aspect, you know, Nationals franchise has never won. Washington, D.C. has not had a World Series winner since the 20s. I think 1925 or so was the original Senators' only World Series championship. Would be pretty awesome to see the Nationals take one home.
Almost back to the roaring 20s again. Keith, always enjoy our conversations. Appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Thank you.
Yep, my pleasure, guys.
Keith Law, catch his stuff, ESPN Plus, ESPN Insider.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.